Well, greetings to each of you, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Shakedown, a podcast about corrections, for corrections, and by corrections. I am your host, Aaron Dawson. Good to be with you yet again as we continue in this series on sharpening skills. I hope that the episodes thus far you have found beneficial, found informational. Maybe learned some things, had some thoughts that maybe you hadn't had before, or maybe reminded of some thoughts that you'd had in the past, and it brought to mind some things that, I might need to think about that. I might need to sharpen those skills. But anyway, want to continue in that line of thought on sharpening skills. Got a exciting interview to do today, but I'll get to that in just a second. As we're talking about sharpening skills, we definitely want to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity that we have available to us. And I know in times such as we are in currently, many agencies are experiencing staffing issues. Many agencies are experiencing budgetary issues, and that makes it difficult to decide, all right, what training is available? What training is the best for what I need where I'm at in my career? And what can I afford to do? And you kind of have to play with this balance of, you know, which do I do? I mean, there's this training and there's this training and there's this training. Which one do I want to do? I want to encourage you to consider the corrections conferences, I guess I should say, that Nigel puts on, JailCon. Now, JailCon West took place back in June, had the privilege, an opportunity to be there. And so if you were one of those attendees at JailCon West, it was good to be with you, enjoyed that time, even if it was insanely hot in Arizona. But anyway, it was good to be there. But JailCon South in the Gulf Shores in the south side of Alabama is taking place August 28th through the 30th. And then JailCon Central in French Lick, Indiana, will be taking place October 24th through the 26th. And so you can go to jailtraining.org and get all the information. You can get registered, so forth and so on. So if you have not been to a JailCon before, I'd highly recommend that you look into that. Check that out. Definitely, definitely worth your time. And so definitely want to recommend that to you. But as far as the interview today, I am tickled to death to have on the podcast today Mr. Keith Hoskins. If you've done any attended any training with Nigel, you have probably interacted with Mr. Keith Hoskins. He retired in 2020 as the director of the Boone County Detention Facility in Missouri, and that capped a 35-year career. Excuse me, in law enforcement. He also recently retired from the firefighting service, so definitely a public servant at heart. He is currently serving as the National Training Administrator, for Nigel. And so, again, you participate in any trainings with Nigel, you're more than likely to have the opportunity to interact with Mr. Hoskins. But he brings a wealth of knowledge. I consider him somebody that I have been and sat in trainings that he conducted and always enjoyed those. And I'm interested to hear what he has to say today as far as our topic of sharpening skills. So, having said all that, without further ado, let's get to that interview. All right, everybody. As promised, we try to deliver. We do have the illustrious Keith Hoskins on with us today. I always love doing the introduction when I can see the facial expression. I mean, I didn't lie. I mean, you are illustrious. I mean, that is. I mean, you were very illustrative. So,
you keep digging that hole.
But it is, Keith, it's awesome to have you on with us today as we are rocking through this series on sharpening skills. And I know, Keith, in just your and my conversations, whether it be, you know, at a training somewhere, you know, driving down the road, whatever the case may be, I was thinking back on how funny it is that if somebody else were listening to what we were just discussing on a regular basis and they took notes, that would probably be some amazing training material right there. And it was just flowing forth naturally. You know, I mean, there was not a...
It's either that or some psychiatrist will think, well, these two need really big help.
That is possible. That is also possible. That is also... But so I did, I already introduced the audience to you, gave them a brief version of your resume there. So they know that you're coming into this conversation not as someone who has an opinion from the outside, but as someone who has walked it and lived it on the inside. And anytime we talk about sharpening skills, I mean, I've found in conversation with people, often their thought goes to the hard skills, you know, the defensive tactics, the, you know, less lethal force, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But again, in our conversations, so often those are the skills that you hope you don't have to use. And usually if you do have to use those, it's because there was another one back there somewhere that we didn't utilize that we could have utilized to avoid that. So in light of that, I know you and I were discussing what, in your mind, as far as a skill for a corrections officer, what would you say would be one of the prior, one of the major skills that needs to stay sharp?
I would say your listening skills need to stay sharp. Our job is about 95% verbal and nonverbal communication throughout the facility. You know, we're going to have dealings with individuals every day we come to work. And about 95% of that time, we're going to use our verbal and nonverbal skills on communication. So I would say people need to make sure that they keep their listening skills up to date and don't become complacent in the sounds that you hear in your facility or the way people provide you information and how you process that information.
You know, and it's funny that if you say in that, you know, of the facilities that I've had the opportunity to visit, whether I was doing training or whatever, you know, transporting inmates, whatever the case may be, you don't even think about it. But when you walk into a facility that you're not working in, one of the first things that you pick up on is what does it sound like in that facility? And I would say probably accurately, you're able to pass a pretty good judgment on what's going on in this building, how much control is being exercised simply by what you can hear. And that, you know, that's from the sally port. That's from the booking room. That's not talking about I work here. I'm assigned to this housing unit, this pod, this dorm, and me being willing to pay attention to hearing what's going on around me. And then on the individual conversation level. So what are some things when you talk about that? What are, when you think of the specifics of a listening skills, what would you say would be some of the brass tacks of that skill?
Well, not only you're listening for what's there, you're also listening for what you don't hear. So you can go into a situation and all of a sudden it's dead quiet. So what are you listening for to begin with? And first, I think we need to discern the difference between hearing and listening.
Right.
Because
if you've ever been married for 12 seconds, you should get an A on this part. But go ahead anyway.
That's correct. The difference between listening and hearing. Hearing's the process of perceiving a sound, you know, what sense, what noises, what tones are around us, and what, how does it stimulate us?
Right.
You know, that's what we're hearing. Listening, on the other hand, makes you focus, pay attention to that sound, and give it an attention to process that sound. You know, you've got to process the sound that you're hearing. You have to understand it. You have to remember it. You have to evaluate it. And then you respond to that sound. Whether it's an audio sound of a facility, of a door slamming or an inmate screaming or making threats or, you know, maybe a window cracking, you know,
right.
Just so happens it might happen. So, you know, that communication, that sound is completely different than hearing, because you all can hear me and just, you know, tone me out and not understand what I'm saying.
Right.
But the listening part is the understanding of it.
Yeah.
So you have to focus to an individual, or you have to focus to specific sound. And I used to do that with my night shift. When I was on night shift, a supervisor on night shift, I would take a new person back to the pods. We had four different buildings that we had control rooms in three of the four buildings. And I would take that new person back to a control room at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I would have them sit there and close their eyes. And I want you to listen to what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to describe back to me what you're hearing, because you have to process that information. So
right.
You're actually actively listening. Then I would take them to another control room, because it's going to sound different.
Right.
Because you're going to have different inmates. You're going to have different housing units. You're going to have different doors. A
yeah.
slider door sounds completely different than a swinger door.
Right.
So you have to know what you're listening to begin with. And then you have to process that information. And is it something that's normal that you're hearing or listening to, or is it something that's abnormal? I mean, I like you said, I've been in a lot of facilities. And the first thing I do is when I walk into a facility, I just stand there and listen. What am I listening to? How am I processing this different sounds that are coming at me? I mean, you've got small facilities that the dispatchers are the jailers. So
right.
You have the radio that they're hearing, hopefully listening to.
Right.
I mean, that's no different than a control room operator that has to listen to the radio, the intercom, the officers, the inmates, any activity that's going on. And they have to process that. Now, when they don't process that and they don't acknowledge that noise level, then all they're doing is hearing. And you can ask when you, like you said, when you were married or when you're married, your wife probably says, are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? So there is a big difference. Hearing doesn't take a conscious effort. I mean, I can hear all kinds of things going on right now.
Yeah.
But listening requires that conscious effort.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you been told, or most men have been told, I will say this, I've heard this time and time and time again, most men are hard of hearing. They're not hard of hearing. They hear properly. They're hard of listening.
Yes. So yes.
There's a big difference.
There you is. Know? You say that. It reminds me of my grandparents. My grandfather, he master carpenter, you know, worked around equipment his whole life. And he, it was always presented that he had pretty significant hearing loss. He'd sit in the living room and he'd read. And my grandmother would be trying to talk to him over the counter. And, you know, he's in La La Land, not paying a bit of attention to her in her, you know, he's in his book and she's hollering. And finally he'd look up, what? And, you know, you're not even paying attention to me, this, that, or that. I cannot say how many times she'd be fussing under her breath and he'd look at me and wink and go back to his book. And I'm thinking, how many years have you been playing this game?
Well, you know, like I said, they ask you, your significant other ask you,
right.
Are you hearing me? They're not asking you, are you listening to me? Because
right.
You can say, yes, I'm hearing you.
That's absolutely.
There's a noise back over here somewhere going like this. I'm hearing that noise, but I'm not
yes.
listening to that noise.
Yes.
I mean, it goes not only for your spouse, it goes for kids too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah. And we can turn that into the line officers in the control rooms, or the ones walking the floor, so to speak, being the line level officers roving around, what are they listening for?
Sure. Sure. I mean,
the sounds at 10 o'clock in the morning are going to be different than the sounds at 10 o'clock at night. The sounds at 2 o'clock in the afternoon are going to be completely different, we hope, than at 2 o'clock yes. in the morning.
Yes.
So what are we listening to?
Right. And for right. When I hear this, does it mean anything to me?
Right.
Is it just noise, or is it a different noise, as the case may be? You know, is it something I need to, okay, that's just so-and-so, or is it something I need to get up and go look and see what's going on with the situation?
Right. And that's where you can get into, there's different levels of listening, just like you're talking of. There's active listening where you pay attention to what's going on. You're very active into what is surrounding you. What noises are you listening to? What are people saying to you?
Sure.
Passive listening is where, you know, I hear something going on, but, you know, I'm daydreaming about this over here. Wait a second, what was that sound again? So, you know, you've got different levels of listening, critical listening. Let's say you're working in a control room, or you're walking, you're roving, and you're doing your rounds, and all of a sudden you hear a door slam that's not normally slammed at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you hear this thump that's not a normal thump in the, you know, middle of the night. So then all of a sudden your interest peaks a little bit more, and now you're very critical of the sound you're hearing.
Yes.
So there are different levels of listening that an individual can do while they're doing their rounds or working a control room.
And, you know, in talking about that, the, you know, if you want to call them levels or level of focus or attention, if you have a, let's say you have a brand new officer, you know, they've started last week and they're listening to this podcast because they heard the, you know, the intellectual Keith Hossens was going to be on, and they're like, I do not want to miss this opportunity. And so, and they're listening to what you're saying. What would you say to them as far as, all right, here's some things you can do to help develop these listening skills that you're talking about?
Okay. First, you're going to have to start focusing.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to be distracted so easily.
Sure.
But the very first thing I would do with a new officer is take them into an environment that is their normal situation environment, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And everybody's asleep. And these are the sounds. These are the normal sounds that you'll hear around this time. 5 o'clock when they release all the cell doors. These are the normal sounds that you're going to hear around 5 o'clock. Lockdown. What kind of sounds are you going to hear around, you know, and then get them acclimated to what we consider normal sounds in a jail.
Right.
Normal as in everything's copacetic. And, you know, we don't have a fight going on. We don't have somebody in a crisis mode. We don't have a critical incident happening. So what are the normal sounds that, you know, everything should be stable?
Right. And then, yes.
Should be. And then they should be able to pick up on when something's not normal, that they need to be a little bit investigative on why that sound happened the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay. So from the, so that's from the basic perspective, and, you know, and it's interesting, I'm going somewhere with this. So there is a method. But I'll tell you, absolutely. Always. From an administrator's perspective, you know, I found that often if I'm in my office, and, you know, your office is never in a place where it's off the beaten path and you can't hear anything. It's always right slap dab in the middle of everything that's going on.
So you got these different sounds.
Yes. And you got people walking down the hallways, and you've got, did you find that it was indicative of the atmosphere in the jail that day, the mindset and the attitude and the, we'll call it the general spirit of your staff, just listening to tones of voice in the hallway outside your office.
Yes. You could tell, I guess the best way to put this is you could tell what type of day
the
night shift had and the day shift is going to expect, or the day shift had and the night shift is going to expect. And within the first 10, 15 minutes of a shift, based on listening to the radio traffic.
Yes. Yes.
You could be able to tell how things are going to operate for the next 12 hours.
Right. Yes. Yes. And it's, especially when you talk about that listener of the radio, I can remember as a line officer, I know I can think of right off the top of my head, at least two or three situations where, a guy on my shift, I'd worked with for a while, I recognized his voice. He didn't have to identify himself on the radio. I knew exactly who it was just by his voice, but would key up and say something. And automatically I'd be easing that way. He didn't say anything of any importance, or, it wasn't like he was calling for backup or whatever the case may be, but you just heard something in that tone of voice that something's not right.
It was the tone and inflection of how he was using his wordage.
Yes.
So you're listening and you're processing that information he's giving you. So, you've got a sound coming at you that you normally don't hear from an individual. The right. tone and inflection of that sound is going to be something to pique your interest and go, right. That's not normal. I might need to start heading that way.
Yes.
It's no different. Some people do that suddenly, and other people get on the radio and they normally talk like this, and then all of a sudden they go, oh my gosh, we got a fight, we better get going, so you have to listen to that. So
right.
And you've got a message being sent there. Some people can give that message subtly, especially if they are within the earshot of other inmates, and then you've got others that sometimes they have no filter when they get excited.
Right. So, yes. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that, as far as listening skills, that you feel like we need to throw out there or add to this conversation?
Well, you shouldn't listen to more than what your hearing can process, if that makes sense. I'll give you an example. I was in a facility not too long ago where the control room officer was trying to process and watch three officers in three different housing units and at the same time get passed down because of a shift change, and at the same time trying to listen to an officer in this housing unit pass out razors and do count. So he's trying to process count, trying to listen to this over here, trying to listen to over here, trying to listen to pass down coming down. And then he's trying to listen to the radio. And then you've got intercoms going off. And yeah. He was hearing.
Right.
But he wasn't listening because he was hearing and he would acknowledge it with a yes. And then immediately go back to what he was doing. He didn't process the important information that could be coming. Yeah. So we tend to let our senses get overloaded and sure. We're not processing everything. In fact, if you get too overloaded, all you're doing is hearing and you're right. Not processing anything whatsoever.
Right.
The good example of that was that individual, when day shift left, the other officer came back in and said, did you get passed down? And he goes, yeah, she told me about pass down, but I don't remember anything she said. So he was not processing. He was hearing. He wasn't listening.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Well, we are about out of time, but So we will wrap up this conversation, but appreciate your thoughts on this and looking forward to our next conversation. And guys, I will tell you, one of the things that Mr. Hoskins has the opportunity to do in his current position with NIJO is to tour some jails around the country. Some are seeking accreditation. Some have got some issues and they asked some folks to come in and give them a recommendation. And so when we come back, I've asked him to share some things that he has gleaned from his travels and in other facilities and things that they're in the middle of it. They don't recognize it, but somebody coming from the outside with some knowledge sees it and recognizes it. And the benefit to all of us is, hey, you know what? That might be an issue in my facility. I might need to check that and see if that's what's really going on in my facility. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So we will pick that up next week. So again, Keith, I appreciate your time on this. And guys, as always, hope you enjoyed it and found it informative. Until the next time, stay sharp, stay safe, stay vigilant. Godspeed.